Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we talk with Sherry Schreiner, author of Bible Codes Revealed and Aliens in the Internet. But first, we check in with Dane Wigington, who runs geoengineeringwatch.org. We talk about the so-called polar vortex and the recent climate march. Dane, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for continuing to address the climate engineering issue, which is making a bad situation on our planet worse by the day.
You wrote a number of articles, one titled The People's March Against Climate Change. Can you encapsulate that article for listeners?
My point was this. It's certainly perplexing when you have, for example, the People's Climate March that just occurred, and you have so many people gathering. For example, I think the official figures were 350 or 400,000 in the streets of New York. How can that many people who claim to be concerned about the climate, and I'm not saying their concerns are not legitimate, but how can they not know about the single greatest climate disrupting factor of all, which is global climate engineering? And that's very astounding to me. And we had a number of activists who tried to post comments on the official blog site for that march mentioning very articulately the subject of climate engineering, geoengineering, hard science subjects, hard science terms. Any comment that mentioned those terms was immediately deleted from that site. Isn't that interesting? So it seems they don't really want to know and are not willing to let any information out about the climate engineering situation, which is tearing the Earth's climate system apart. So it seems quite a hypocrisy to me that many people can march for a subject and then exclude the biggest single factor relating to that subject.
You had mentioned in a previous conversation, you called it tenacious denial.
Yes, I think that term fits. And when you have, for example, organizations like Greenpeace, which was certainly involved in the global march to expose or global march for global warming, I was on national radio with Greenpeace's top scientists. It's been, I don't know, 8-9 months ago, and clearly he knew about climate engineering. If anybody listened to that interview, it was on Go Green Radio. If anybody listened to the interview, I think they would absolutely conclude this scientist for Greenpeace knew about climate engineering, did not want to talk about it.
Can you tell listeners what was an indicator for you that led you to believe that he knew about geoengineering, global climate engineering?
Well, I challenged him on air to try to defend his position that he was unaware of these programs, and he couldn't. He couldn't defend that position. In fact, he conceded that there may be aspects of these programs going on that is not being acknowledged, and he in no way could or even tried to offer any defense for his lack of acknowledgement of these programs. And in fact, by the end of the show, conceded that maybe it is going on. So there's a lot of lying going on, an incredible amount of hypocrisy, and an incredible amount of denial for some people who are simply making a good career decision, whether they're a meteorologist or a scientist for Greenpeace. They're making a career decision to protect their employment and avoid the truth.
Their tactic is to ignore the issue and not speak about it and delete any confrontation or debate about the topic. You don't even get a chance to debate it. They'll feign ignorance or they pretend it doesn't exist. I was at the climate march and I did not see one sign about geoengineering or climate engineering at all. I didn't see every part of the march, but I certainly didn't see any people against geoengineering. So I was thinking recently about the polar vortex and how it's very possible with the ionospheric heaters that are set up around the northern part of the planet to slide the cold air over so oil companies and countries such as Russia, China, the United States can get into those resources. It was just an idea I was thinking about. It was really based on an article that I saw a couple days ago titled "Russia Says Arctic Well Drilled with Exxon Strikes Oil." We're talking about billions of barrels of oil, hundreds of billions of dollars going into this project that will take a decade and is considered one of Vladimir Putin's greatest ambitions as Russia's existing fields in Siberia run dry, the country needs to develop new reserves as it vies with the U.S. to be the world's largest oil and gas producer. And I thought that was interesting because I suspect that's what's going on. You hear meteorologists on TV last year saying polar vortex this and that. But what I noticed throughout the spring and summer this year is that rotation stayed in the same place pretty much and has affected weather. And people living in Toronto, 100 miles plus and minus of that latitude, have been complaining about the aerosol operations. So it's right on the outer edge of that polar vortex there. And just speaking with you, you had already written about this in detail. Can you tell listeners what you have found?
First, if I can back up on the march itself and the lack of any geoengineering or anti-geoengineering signs, I'm quite certain the organizers of that march would not have allowed that. Wherever these people's funding is coming from, that funding seems bent on hiding or obscuring the issue of climate engineering. So when we have organizations like ETC and, again, Greenpeace or 350.org, all these groups seem either more interested in protecting their nonprofit status or hiding the subject of climate engineering altogether. Again, climate engineering should be considered the greatest single climate disrupting factor, not at all the only factor, endless amount of anthropogenic forms of damage to the climate. But again, these groups are systematically eliminating any discussion of climate engineering. So when we get to issues, the polar vortex that you discussed and Russia's involvement with chasing resources, first, Russia appears to be trying, at least making some effort, to bring the subject of climate engineering to light. Last September, the only reason the IPCC mentioned the subject of geoengineering was because Vladimir Putin asked them to. Otherwise, you would have had the largest scientific panel on any subject in human history issuing a report on the climate without so much as even mentioning the term for the largest single climate disrupting factor of all, geoengineering. So Putin appears to be trying to raise that issue, not to hide it, and I give him credit for that. Second, on the exploitation of resources, the thawing of the Arctic is not necessarily helpful for accessing those resources. In the permafrost regions of the Arctic, the thawing of the Arctic surface makes exploitation of resources in those regions exponentially more difficult, not easier. So that's a very double-edged sword. And although I know there's large multinational corporations from many countries that want to access those resources, they are having a much more difficult time doing it with some of the thawing in many areas. So although the sea ice is breaking apart and they can access more areas over the ocean, the other land areas are becoming very difficult to access. As far as the U.S. being a large oil producer, the fracking, which is the only reason that this has happened in the short term, is literally a facade. I encourage people to investigate the fracking issue. So the chase for resources is much more a quest by the Western powers than by Russia. So people need to really look at the bigger picture. Fracking is an illusion, if you will. It's produced a lot of short-term energy, but those wells are caving. The production just falls off a cliff very soon after they're put online. So there's a lot more factors to the equation. On the polar vortex, there's no question this is engineered. In fact, if people look at the NASA GISS ground surface temperature anomaly maps, you'll see that the only places that were cool last winter were the eastern half of North America, eastern Canada, eastern U.S. At the same time, you had temperatures in areas like Siberia that were off the charts to the high side. Siberia began to burn in early April of this year. It's in areas that are normally frozen solid till mid-June. So Siberia is losing 100 million acres a year to forest fires. The temperatures are off the charts. We saw Arctic Ocean temperatures this year of near 65 degrees by the Mackenzie River Delta. So this is truly a grand illusion. You're correct, Jeff, that they are pushing this cold air south. That does rob it from the Arctic, more or less. And if you see the pattern for the winter, quote-unquote winter snowstorms all winter long, they would push cold air south, completely engineered. They would combine it with moisture from the Gulf of Mexico. Now, since when do you have winter storms that originate out of the Gulf of Mexico? And in the transition zone between this cold air that's pushed south and where they're chemically ice-nucleating the moisture, you almost always had a large ice storm area where this chemically nucleated material is hitting the ground before it sets up. And this manner of storm is completely unprecedented prior to recent years. Now it's the norm because it's completely engineered. The climate engineers are tearing the climate system apart. The quote-unquote environmental groups, whatever their funding is, whatever their motives, they're helping to hide these crimes. That hypocrisy needs to be exposed, period. So we need everybody to hop into this battle and help us expose the climate engineering, or we'll soon have nothing left to save.
Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org. Thank you again for being on the show. And I know we haven't talked in a while, and this is a subject that we often do discuss on In Other News, and we'll have you back on for a longer interview. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your courage in addressing this issue, Jeff.
Sherry Schreiner is the author of Bible Codes Revealed and Aliens in the Internet. She's created many websites that can be accessed from sherryschreiner.com. The opinions and ideas expressed in this interview are not necessarily those of the host, station, or this network. With the disclaimer, I want to mention that on the show we've examined many perspectives on orgone energy and orgonite, and in this interview, Sherry explains her interaction with orgone energy. Sherry's views are controversial and unfiltered to many because of the spiritual and biblical references and the anti-religious positions. Sherry Schreiner says as a result she's blacklisted from talk shows and media outlets. However, she's been talking about aliens, UFOs, underground bases, fake constellations in the night sky, Satanists among us, for nearly a decade. We also talk about some of the topics we discussed with past guest Eve Lorgan, such as clones, androids, and humans not quite being at the top of the food chain. Sherry Schreiner, welcome to Another News.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me here.
Well, let's start right into it. Can you tell listeners about the wheat and the tare parable and its importance regarding your work?
Well, you know, in Matthew 13, they give us a parable. We're given a parable about the wheat and the tares. And what this lays out is how Jesus, who his real name Yahushua, would go throughout the world and sow good seed. And he refers it to a farmer seeding a field. And the farmer puts seed in his field like wheat, and he goes to sleep. He's not paying attention. And the enemy comes in and sows bad seed. The harvesters are saying, "Wait, there's tares growing with the wheat. How can we take down the tares? Take out the tares without harming the wheat?" And he says, "Just let them grow together. At the end of the age, they'll be separated, and I'll send forth my angels, and we'll gather up all the tares and bundle them and burn them." And basically, what we're looking at today in this context is that the same thing I've been saying and screaming about since 2005, when I was warned that the takeover had begun, was that there have been seeds planted amongst the humans of today, and you really can't tell the difference when you're looking at them, and this is why I stay so on top of it as opposed to most people. And at the end of the age, the Father will just send angels to separate the humans from the non-humans, the wheat from the tares, his people from the wicked.
What do they symbolize for you, or what do they manifest in? Are these the hybrid individuals? Are these the star children? What are they?
You've heard of star children, the indigos. They go by many different names. These are the hybrids. And I find them, you know, I was dealing with a lot of them a couple years ago, back in 2011, 12, 13. And now it seems like more, they really turned the light switch on and we're dealing with androids and robotoids now. And so it's really just jumping from one thing to the next. And like, you know, 2 years ago, last year, I was screaming about the debates, saying, "Look at them, they're androids, they're not even humans, folks. How many people can't even tell this?" It was just amazing.
I have a feeling that more people are able to discern, you know, really based on those, a lot of videos on YouTube, the real good ones, the ones that are able to show you, using, you know, forensic video editing skills, what's really happening in frame by frame with some of these individuals in the media. And I wonder if that's what was being foretold in this parable.
That's how I interpret it now, because you can interpret it as the ages go throughout every age. And then when you get to this last age, I mean, how many people can look at Obama? I see him on TV every night, it's his android. And they think it's the real Obama. And I'm screaming, no, that's not the real Obama. Look at the shoulders, the Barbie Ken shoulders, the really thin, petite. Look at the shoulders, the plastic skin. Also, some of them can't hold light at all, and so they'll blink 1,000 times a minute. Who was in that debate? It was Obama and 2008. What was that? Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just their eyes were blinking a million miles a minute. And I was even told by my sources that their technology has gotten so good that they no longer need the battery pack on their backs. I don't know if you'll remember George Bush Jr. People commenting on how he had this bump, this big lump in the middle of his back.
Yes.
And that was the old technology where they had these battery packs so they could be controlled. They've gone above that now. They don't need those battery packs. They can control these androids just by sitting in the audience with them. They can even be at a distance, although they usually stay pretty close. And people can't even tell they're androids.
You know, I had a guest on, and we were talking about something called backdrop people. The conversation got into referencing articles that were coming out showing how the Japanese and Koreans were advancing in creating robot humans. But it seems to always stay at a certain level of technology. It doesn't advance that rapidly. But you still
That's what they want you to think.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
That's what they want you to think. Look, we're stuck here. And they're way beyond. They're way beyond. If you can't look at Obama, his speech the other day on ISIS, the android speaking, mm-hmm. and the real Obama, then it's got you. The technology's already fooled you. And it's fooling everybody.
Some people were commenting on how, in the address he gave at the UN recently, that the pauses in between were almost as if he were downloading the next sentence.
Yeah, being fed into his brain. If you see the scars on the back of his head, I've seen hybrids with the same scars. And what they do is their brain is like a computer. They've done this massive brain surgery on them to where their brains are computers. And the thing is, like these androids, along the same thing with clones, they don't know they're androids. They don't know they're clones because they have all these memories of the host person who they took over, who they're mimicking, or whose body they took over. And in this case, the androids are mimicking. They think they're human. They don't know anything different.
This is great movie plot material.
Yeah, I hear from Hollywood producers all the time, but I've never got a royalty check.
Well, I'm sure your material gets lifted. This is an obvious question. Why do you think they clone people such as politicians, actors, and actresses?
Because Lucifer will never, ever, ever trust a human. That's the bottom line. He hates them, and he'll never trust them. The charming Lucifer that shows up at their meeting, their satanic ritual meetings and their get-togethers, is an actor. He's the charming, the one they see with the blonde, athletic, the good-looking one. The real one hates humans and will never trust them. And so what he does is he replaces them. And I always said, you know, even back when I started doing radio shows a decade or so ago, they'll be the first ones gone when he arrives. They'll be on the red list themselves. They don't realize it. He will not run this global world government that he plans on running with humans. They will. All of the ones who brought him to power will be the first ones on the trains.
Sherry, we've had on Mark Passio, a former priest in the Satanic Church who left and had an epiphany because he realized the international goal of the church was basically to enslave human beings. We've heard many times that Satanism is the religion of those in positions of power throughout the world. But can you give us an idea, based on your sources, how vast the Satanic Church is in, let's say, North America?
You know, it dominates everything in North America, and they dominate through secret societies. And what they do is they establish classifications and ranking systems within all of that. It's structures within structures. And so there's many different groups involved. What I've learned is they don't keep anything in one pot. Everything is spread out and defragmented, the same way they do with technology and the military. They defragment. One company makes the leg, one company makes an arm. They defragment their entire satanic structure. And it goes all the way down to the basic level. You start at your county level, where every county in every state in America has a group. And it just grows up from there. And of course, some cities incorporate, some of the more populous counties, where you'll have your regional groups. You have your county level all the way up to regional groups. And those are the ones I deal with the most, is the regional groups and the three largest groups in America, which are Washington, D.C., New York City, and Chicago.
What about Pennsylvania and Oklahoma? Those states seem to be, I think Pennsylvania, there's a lot going on there. And then just recently, there's a lot of news coming out of Oklahoma regarding Satanists.
They're everywhere. They're from the county level up. They're in every state. I mean, Cleveland has a huge group. So do Michigan. All of the states have huge groups, depending on population size and where they're located. And they all plan their own things. It's not like they're tied together and they work together on projects. Everybody does their own group does plans and their own things. And it's almost like one group will plan, okay, let's poison the food. Let's cause a fruit recall. Let's poison the food. Let's kill people by food contaminations, food poisonings. Those are all considered sacrifices to Satan. And they're all always looking to sacrifice to Satan. I mean, the lower groups will never have access to the large groups, the regional groups.
So that's a covert tactic right there. It's very cowardly. It's not up front.
Well, it sure is. It's a wake-up call because, I mean, just here in Carrollton a few years ago, a young girl was killed in a car accident, and I was told she was a sacrifice. I'm like, what are you talking about? She died in a car accident. They go, no, they picked her out because it was a nice, sweet girl, Christian girl, and she was chosen to die by the satanic group that runs this area. And so I don't know how they do it, but she was killed in a car accident, and she was driving. They can use technology to affect you while you're driving. They can blank out your mind. They can flash a light at you. They can, like, put a blankness over your mind so you can't think, so you make mistakes. They use technology, and they will target individuals for death, and they won't even know that they were actually a satanic ritual death.
Well, I might ask another obvious question. What is the value of such a sacrifice?
Well, it's death. You know, they honor all death. They all attribute it to Satan. They give it to Satan as a gift, like you would give your kids your baby a toy.
Is it, because I often hear this too, is it also because of a specific ritual that they're involved with, and if they ask for something and include a sacrifice, then they're rewarded for whatever they asked for?
Well, they are, but you know what? Not all of them are rewarded like we think. I mean, they don't have, a lot at the county levels, they don't have the big fame and the big fortune, but they do get the jobs where nobody else does. You know, they get the good-paying jobs, federal jobs, government jobs. They get to be the sheriff. They get the better jobs, put it that way.
Yes. I think you mentioned it in a show, how their children get prominent positions in sports and things like that.
Well, yeah, you'll see their kids' pictures in the newspapers, you know, and you won't even know that person's a Mason. You may live in a town where it's just kind of a hidden thing. The Masonic Lodge is just an empty building at the end of the street. No one's ever there. But it plays a part even in small towns. I mean, they have their meetings and their dates, and they're late at night when no one's around. And, you know, you see it all over the country. It's always the Masonic kids, the Illuminati. The Illuminati's kids, their bloodlines, you can't get on TV if you're not in the Illuminati. That's why they set up all these celebrity gossip shows, because when you're doing good, they give you fame. That's part of the fame. You get to be on Inside Edition. They show a blurb of you wearing a dress or whatever, you know. Promote your latest movie. They give you accolades. That's part of the rewards. And if you make them mad, then you get the wrath of all the gossip shows. Everybody talks bad about you.
I was wondering about that, Sherry. you've been going for quite a while and getting this information out on the airwaves and online. And have you had any kind of retribution or attacks from these groups?
I always do. You know, I just mentioned on my Facebook yesterday, the day before, I was shot at on Sunday. I've heard from the number one assassin in this country. He's tried to kill me 3 times and can't kill me. I get Navy SEALs sent here. I get special, you know, military groups sent here, and they all just leave. They come, they go. I'm very protected by the Most High. You know, as I was being shot at Sunday, all I heard was a shot and then a thump, and it sounded like something fell out of a tree. Mm. And so I'm thinking, is somebody hunting? Why just one shot, you know? I just went to work. I went back to work. I was making orgone.
For listeners who may not be aware of your work, can you describe your relationship to God?
You know what? I've been a believer in the Most High, born-again Christian since I was 5 years old. You know, I was proclaiming his name at 2 years of age. And it made me a targeted individual from the time I was born. At the same time, I was born with my spiritual ears, eyes open. I could see things other people couldn't see. I could hear things. I had no idea that he would stand me up to be his mouthpiece on earth. And so I really didn't know what I was getting into. I've settled into it over the last 14 years. But a lot of it just comes a lot of attacks and targeting. And, you know, when I was asking the Lord, how do I tear down the strongholds of Lucifer on the earth? How do I tear down the New World Order? He led me to Orgone. I'd never heard of Wilhelm Reich. In fact, I hadn't heard of him 2 years after I'd already been making and distributing Orgone. It took me 2 years to even hear of him. I developed through the Father a certain brand of Orgone that destroys aliens, demons. It burns them. It's crashing their UFO ships, their starships. I mean, if you look at it now, all the fireballs coming down. We take credit for all that. We have Orgone all over the world, all over this country. We have pipes. We have pieces. We have strategically placed Orgone everywhere. I go after anywhere the Lord leads me to. We take out space portals. We take out underground alien bases. We'll take out underground human prisons. We're going after everything, and it's evident in our work with all the UFOs crashing.
We've had many guests on the show discussing Wilhelm Reich and the power of Orgone, and there are many groups and beliefs, and you have a certain application. But could you explain how you view Orgone energy and Orgonite?
Well, you know, Wilhelm Reich was subcontracted by President Eisenhower to come up with a way to fight against aliens, and he developed Orgone. And at that time, they decided they weren't going to fight against the aliens. They were going to make a treaty with them instead. So they had no use for Wilhelm Reich. And so they put him in prison and confiscated his work, where he eventually died in prison. Well, years later, his work would be rediscovered. Other people were developing Orgone. I don't know how they relate that to Wilhelm Reich, because they weren't making anything relating to what he made. When the Father showed me Orgone, and we were doing the same things. I was watching ships crashing, UFOs crashing, watching them burn, watching how it affected the supernatural realm. I could hear them screaming because it burns them, getting into the Bible codes and decoding how it affects them. I knew I had the same stuff then that Wilhelm Reich had discovered and latched onto.
This is interesting, Sherry, because there's a book by Trevor James Constable called Sky Creatures. And in the later part of that book, it does go into describing how Wilhelm Reich was pointing the Cloudbuster at UFOs and watching them wobble and blink out of the sky. But then there was a retaliation where black mold started to grow all over the trees and the rocks and the building there in Rangeley, Maine. There was a conflict with these UFOs and Wilhelm Reich.
Well, I'd never heard of that, but I heard he was in the desert in Roswell when that famous crash took place, that he was out in the desert testing his pipes.
Yes, there's a reference in that same book where they're talking about Wilhelm Reich being out in the desert, and somebody was leaning against the Cloudbuster machine. A silver disc came by and zapped the Cloudbuster and paralyzed one half of that person's body. Again, to qualify that there was a some kind of back and forth conflict between these whatever are in these ships and human beings on the ground using.
They don't like it because, you know, positive orgone energy destroys them.
Our guest is Sherry Schreiner. Her website is sherryschreiner.com. We're talking about orgone energy. We'll be right back after this break. Our guest is Sherry Schreiner. We're talking about underground bases and humans, not at the top of the food chain.
When you can get people creating DOE, dead orgone energy, or NOE, neutral orgone energy, it doesn't affect them. But when you create positive orgone energy, it affects them. They're negative, wicked beings. They don't want positive. They don't want light. They don't want the very breath that gives life to the earth. That's why they attack it. That's why I've been under attack, heavy attack, since I started what I call the Orgone War against the aliens.
You mentioned one night on your show about the strange burning smell in the air that it's not something cooking or it's not wood burning. It's another almost chemical smell, but it's everywhere sometimes. This actually happened yesterday. I haven't smelled it in a while. But at the same time, there was, you know, the deadly orgone radiation in the air, that brownish gray. Can you tell listeners what your theory is on this?
My theory on that is I know there's an incinerator on the moon. And they take, when we fry all these starships, like Cyrus is really hurting, we fry thousands of starships, and they take their dead to this incinerator and burn them. And I believe what we're seeing is the after effects of ashes, because in the Bible codes, I see the term ashes. I think it's the ashes of the aliens, the beings that are burning on the moon.
I wondered if it had some spiritual or something in the etheric was happening.
Well, it's their dead bodies burning. I mean, they take them to this incinerator to get rid of them. Because, you know, I see ashes in the codes, and every once in a while I'll see chemical. We know that they're all involved with the chemtrail spraying. That might have something to do with it as well, but it's also, you know, whenever people start saying that they have a strong odor smell, I always see the term ashes in the Bible codes.
Yes, they were spraying as well above the overcast. When there was a break in the overcast, you can see the lines that were being
sprayed. Yeah, and they try to hide them and mask and hide it. They'll cloud areas. They'll do everything they can to hide the ashes, hide the second sun, hide the fake moon. I mean, they're quite busy.
There's so much going on. There's so much deception going on. And we talk about geoengineering and the chemtrails, but it's generally in the altering of the climate and for those nefarious reasons. But very rarely do we get into the Morgellons, and very rarely do we get into this area. But I've filmed aircraft spraying that actually were not planes, and some of them look like UFOs spraying.
Oh, what I saw, there was a chemtrail plane going over my son's football field, and it had a loud buzz. I'm thinking, that thing's ready to explode or something. And I'm telling the moms, look up, there's a chemtrail plane, what's it spraying? Mm-hmm. And it lost its hologram, and you could see that it was a huge cylinder with these hoses-type things coming out and spraying the air. It was a huge cylinder.
You know, it's just shocking that it's allowed not only in your airspace, but in the airspace here in New York City.
Well, our government doesn't control half of it. They control the parts where they're using real planes. But there's a whole alien agenda side to that where they have no control over. The aliens are spraying themselves.
Yes, and I'll have comments such as, these are the good aliens trying to counter the pollution that the humans...
There's no such thing as a good alien.
You have a very rigid perspective on the alien agenda here on this planet. Some people say there are good and bad aliens, just as there are good and bad people, good and bad...
No, there's just bad aliens, and then there's alien actors acting like good aliens. They all have an agenda.
Mm-hmm. You know, Carla Turner, Barbara Bartholik, and I'm not sure about Eve Lorgan, but they were pioneers in this area as well after they had compiled all this material and research from abductees. Carla Turner said that the aliens were liars, basically.
They are. They all are. Imagine President Obama, every time they open their mouth, they're lying. They're narcissist beings. They're wicked and fallen from heaven. So they have no connection to the Father, which we do. No morals, no ethics. They just want Earth for themselves or whatever agenda they're fighting with, because there's two different agendas I can see. There's the New Age alien agenda, and then you have the reptilian agenda of the New World Order. So it depends on which side they're on. The New Age alien agenda, la la, we're coming to help mankind. We want to restore Earth's beauty, blah, blah, blah. And fool them all into boarding UFOs to become meat in their freezers. And that's what I've been screaming about and trying to wake up these New Agers for years, because, you know, just like the reptilians and the grays and the nice ones have the same meat lockers. They eat humans too. They just go about it in a more deceptive way. And anything to do to pull them away from the truth, which is the Father created the heavens and the earth, and he's the one in control, they want people to believe that they are gods and goddesses, they can design their own destiny, there's no accountability for sin and evil, you know, whatever garbage they can sell that people will buy.
So you're talking about the human flesh here, and I've had guests on also talk about the psychic energy and spiritual energy, such as the chakras and things like that, as also a food source for other types of beings out there.
Well, the energy vampires, those ones don't kill you, they just suck all the energy out of you.
Still a source, though, of food.
Yeah, it's Loosh. We call it Loosh.
Loosh, right. I always thought that'd be a great name for a bar.
Loosh.
Right.
That'd be more of a Lush.
Lush. You, on one of your sites, I think it's the Watcher Files, you have a short write-up and a link to a video titled Reptilian Butcher and Eats Humans Underground Worldwide, and there's a reference to that film, Midnight Meat Train, where they flat-out show you that the subway goes down into these labyrinth tunnels under New York City, and they kidnap people, bring them down there, and these creatures feast on them every night.
And it's truth. It may be in a Hollywood fiction format, but it is total truth of what's really going on.
When you start to dig on tunnels under New York City, there's almost nothing. But for a while, there was only one mention of a particular elevator shaft in Midtown that went all the way down to these underground tunnels. And I can't even find that reference now, but...
I know, I'm familiar with it. It's in Times Square somewhere.
When you only have a consistent reference of only one thing, that's a red flag for me. So I suspect, there could be something to that, and especially when Hollywood begins to fictionalize these types of stories.
Oh, you know what? New York City... it's an ancient reptilian base that's underneath there. It goes from Westchester County, New York, all the way through to the Bronx, all the way through down to mid-Manhattan, the UN building, that whole area. And in Texas, there are huge underground bases where they, you know, feast on humans. And, you know, the light bulb really went off for me when my government people were telling me that, you know, why do you think they have such open borders? Because the more Mexicans that are getting abducted and eaten, the less Americans are. For every one Mexican that makes it here as an illegal, there's 1,000 that are kidnapped and put into these underground feeding centers. You know, that puts it all into perspective. the whole open border madness, exactly why the biggest underground prison bases are on the borders from California to Texas.
There was a story yesterday saying 40,000 illegals had disappeared.
Oh, that's, and they, you know, there's every year from, there's a whole route from the Eastern Asian nations to America where they just disappear. These immigrants coming over from China and Eastern Asian nations. There's a base up in Alaska that's also used as a huge underground base there where they bring in over the people they take from India and China and those other nations and up in Alaska. They're just everywhere. And you know what? I've been targeting them. You know, in 2012, we went to Manhattan and we demolished that underground base that was there. We caught it on fire the third day we were there. And we also had secured the entire island. That hurricane that came in was meant to take out the entire island of Manhattan.
I was here for that, and it was really, really strange. The sounds that were, that you can hear up in the sky during that hurricane was very unusual, and there was a blackout from, I guess, Midtown on down. And, of course, it was on Halloween, right? I know you speak about the occult holidays, and there's so much to this, but there are eight nights of human sacrifice on the Celtic calendar that many know the powers that be, the Illuminati, and those involved in the occult follow. And it begins on November 1st. The last day of the year is October 31st. So it starts off November 1st. December 21st is the night of Yule, the winter solstice. February 1st is another date. These are sacrifice dates. March 21st, May 1st, June 21st, August 1st, September 21st, and then we're back to October 31st. But could you talk about some of these holidays on the calendar and the work that you conduct to thwart the impact of the rituals on those days?
Well, you know, so these are solar Sabbaths, and the witches have a different, they honor these same Sabbaths the Illuminati does. You have to understand that the you know, witches and the warlocks and that whole don't necessarily do the sacrificing that the Illuminati do, the hardcore Satanists. When you think of those eight holidays a year, well, the Illuminati, the ones I know, they're sacrificing every day, especially in D.C. There is a temple underneath D.C., and they can all get to it from the White House, the Pentagon, Congress, and they sacrifice every day. And these are during-the-day sacrifices. The same as New York City, Wall Street, those bankers, They're sacrificing every day. I was at in front of a building while a sacrifice was taking place. There was a van outside of it that said Children's ABC Learning Center. What is a white children's van doing outside an empty New York City building down by Wall Street? You know, they were inside. They would use these vans to transport these children in to be sacrifices. And these buildings are protected by the New York City Police Department. There's cops everywhere. I was just floored by it because at the same time they sacrifice these kids, they have a clone of me in Wall Street, and they beat the crap out of her all the time. When I was down there, it was going on.
You could sense this, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are three clones of me. They have one of me in New York City, Chicago, and D.C.
It's a form of voodoo, basically.
You know, it's really crazy. People tell me, how do you think of being cloned? And it's, I just can't even put it in words. But I can tell you that the clones have a connection to the main source, which would be me. And what bothers me about the whole thing is clones don't have a connection to the father, to their creator. They have a connection to the person they were cloned from.
I think you said to, if you ever see your clone, and I have seen a clone of myself, but you said if you ever see a clone, run.
Yeah. And you know what? I told that to some D.C. friends of mine, because what they do is they clone D.C. officials when they get put in positions of prominence and power, and then they kill the original and replace them with that clone. Clones are used to replace humans. That's Satan's project to replace humans on Earth. That's part of his whole agenda. And so that's what I'm telling these people. If you see a clone, run, because they're going to kill you, not your clone.
Clone is a very different from the droids, right?
Oh, yeah, because the clones, they're cloned right off your DNA. They're exact duplicate copies. The thing with clones is, though, is they don't come out perfect. They can be younger. They can be skinnier. You know, especially, you know, that's the funny part. They can be a lot skinnier than you are. They can be like you were when you were 20, not when you're 48, you know.
Totally.
Well, you know, when you're born, they take blood out of the heel of every infant born. It's called a PKU test. And they only need two for whatever purposes they take it for. The other three drops they use for cloning.
So that's all they need?
That's all they need is a drop of your blood. They used to come in at me at night. I saw George Bush Sr. standing beside me as I was sleeping. And they were pulling hair out of my head. Like, I wouldn't notice that one. I don't think he counted on me recognizing who he was. But at the time I thought, oh, they're just trying to verify that I'm King David's granddaughter. At the time, that's all I thought it was, verifying who I am, you know. Mm-hmm. And it didn't occur to me they were cloning.
Now, Sherry, what do your friends say about your work, and how do they look at it? Do you talk to them about this, your friends and relatives?
My friends are the people who are warriors as long as me. Those are my friends.
Okay.
My friends are with me alongside getting the org going out, going, you know. As far as relatives and stuff, they don't talk to me, but I'm sure they think I'm crazy. I'm sure they think, because, like, I've always been ahead, 20 years of info above everybody else. So when I was pounding the alarms back in 2000 about aliens and UFOs, guess what? People that ran interviews and radio shows were canceling me. They said people can't accept having a guest on talking about aliens and UFOs. And now look at the Internet. YouTube videos everywhere, websites everywhere. People are becoming more accepting. I'm just way ahead of my time. And eventually people start to see what I've been saying is true. And I'm not so crazy.
You've been on the forefront. In fact, I think, if I have this right, last fall, you, in passing, referenced that it was going to be a very, very cold winter. And I don't even know how you would have known this, but it ended up being a really nasty winter here in the Northeast, and over in your area, too. But you called it early in the fall, and you never mentioned it again, but it was sometime around this time last year you had said that.
Yeah, you know, and this year's going to be brutal, too, because as we get more and more orgone out, they try to suppress the air. They think they can suppress the orgone by opening up those, what are they calling them now? Polar vortexes?
Right, yeah.
So they think they can suppress the orgone air. You happen to be in the safest region in the entire country, which is the Midwest region from Michigan to New York, because we have this whole region just pummeled with orgone. And we're the region causing 80% of the ships to crash.
Now, listeners to the show will hear the contradictions in past guests and concepts and topics that reference the polar vortex. We had talked with somebody from Geoengineering Watch who had, you know, said it was something else. So,
you know what? I don't care. Polar vortexes are portals opening, and they bring in ships. And they also use it to affect our atmosphere. But we shut down the space portal above Lake Michigan. So that's going to affect their plans for this winter. We just shut that down last month. They can no longer use that portal they were using for space and over Lake Michigan. And what they were doing was brewing these freezing... They can make it snow in the sky, okay? And they can bring it through and push it through our atmosphere, through portals. So we'll have to see what they can come up with for this year. But it's still going to be very brutal, probably 6 months.
What do you see for humanity, Sherry, evolving and... becoming free of the parasites in our midst and becoming more autonomous in the universe and being able to leave the planet on our own?
Well, you know, people are leaving the planet all the time. But the problem is they're always going to be connected to Earth just like the aliens are, because this is the food source. you can't grow food on those other planets. And then the other problem is, you know, what the aliens have is that, you know, humans are their food source. When humans go to other planets, they've got no way to grow their own food, basically. Now, I know Mars doesn't have, I know the military has been on Mars for 20 years, 30 years. They've been in different star systems. They've been all over the place. So I know that there's human colonies above us. But as far as everybody here evolving and you know, I don't see it happening enough in time for them. They're not going to have enough time because the clock is ticking. We've got a giant invasion coming. I've been sounding the alarms on this for years. The locusts are coming, the locust invasion of Revelation chapter 9, Joel 2. These things were foretold in the Bible. And, you know, that's part of the reason why people have such a problem with me is because they don't understand the Bible. But if they would read the Bible, because the Christian audience is the one I've always been reaching out to, if they would read it, they would realize that in the Old Testament alone, 36 giant races are mentioned, 22 giant kings are mentioned. They don't know the beginning because the churches aren't teaching them the truth of what was happening in the early days. You know, the Lord said it would be the days of Noah, so what the end would be. They don't understand the days of Noah.
The days of Noah and the offspring from Noah's sons, and in there there was a serpent seed line that created the giants. Is that correct?
Well, the giants were created from the fallen watchers falling and mating with human women. And then people think, okay, the flood came and wiped all that out.
But that's not true. And even in the movie, I think there was some reference of the Canaanite bloodline getting in there.
Yes, it resurfaced through his son Ham, who had married, whose wife had Canaanite seed, Cain seed.
Mm-hmm.
Noah and his sons were righteous, meaning they had perfect human DNA. Their wives did not. And when Ham was cursed by God for the sin he did to Noah, his son, Canaan, was the one who bore that curse. And if you follow the giant races in the Old Testament times, all through the Canaanites, all through Canaan, when Joshua and Caleb had to defeat 20 cities of giants just to retake the land of Palestine for Israel, there were thousands, probably millions of giants at that time, and they're all over the world. People can get past that block and say, okay, the church has never taught us this, but it's right here in black and white. What else have they kept from you? You know, it starts to make sense because if you can grasp the tiniest concept of what civilization was really like then you'll understand it now. Because we have another, the locust invasion coming, the Nephilim, the return of the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, giants. I try to explain where they are above us in space because these aren't constellations we're looking at, folks, of gas balls. These are alien constellations. These are their ship formations. These are their home planets, 88 different ones.
Yeah, a friend of mine and I, we do film UFOs with night vision scopes, and it's really fascinating. This guy gets some really good footage, and he does notice that there are stars in constellations that all of a sudden begin to move out of position. He also noticed that there was a bright planet in the night sky. This is about a year and a half ago. And people were saying, it's Venus on the news. It's Venus. Oh, you might notice this star in the sky. It's Venus. Well, he had his camera on it, and he noticed there were not orbiting moons, but these points of light that were around the object that were turning. I've never seen anything like it, and it was very startling, which implied that it certainly was not a planet. But that's what the news.
Oh, I know it was in the west. I was laughing. I was like, "That's not Venus. It was a starship."
Well, for you to know that, Sherry, is really advanced. I had to see it over and over again through night vision and have it verified.
Oh, you just look at them. You know, maybe my eyes are trained.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at them and they're changing colors, you know it's not a planet. I mean, I can see the colors, the red, the blue, the green. My kids can go out at night and look up at the sky and start pointing out alien starships.
I was with an individual in Jamaica, Queens, who is a black Israelite. His sister was really good at identifying them up in the air without a night vision scope. She would see them So yes, some people have a natural affinity to pick them out, but it's an important step to get into and start to look at, because it just exposes the lies that you've been told most of your life. You ask listeners to ask God to allow you to learn the truth in all things. And can you tell listeners why you do that?
You know what? I think it's important because, you know, our whole relationship with the Lord is based on a relationship, and that doesn't have anything to do with religion. Doesn't have anything to do with how many times you've gone to church, how many Hail Marys you say, or whatever people think. Religion doesn't make you a believer, you know, doesn't build you a relationship with the Lord, I guess I should say. You know, people get ritualistic in their churches. Oh, I have to go to church. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. We all need to sit at his feet and build a personal relationship with him, what they don't teach you in the churches, and just ask him to teach you the truth in all things. Because your pastor of that church is only going to teach you the amount of information he's learned from the seminary he came out of. And the New Agers and Satanists run and control all of the seminaries. And so they don't learn about Enoch. They don't learn the real truth of what's of the giants in our past history. They don't learn the truth about the things that are coming, so they can't recognize the things in the skies above them now. And so when you start to ask the Lord to teach you the truth in all things, he'll open your eyes, open your ears.
You have to be prepared for that.
Yeah, and that's one thing. Be careful what you ask for, because, you know, there's things he's taught me that, you know, made me really, really angry. Took me a year to get over, you know, to be able to digest it. You do. You get really mad at the lies you've been fed, and then you just start building up. You have to throw out everything you've ever learned and just start receiving the truth that he gives you. And it's never too late to start over. It's never too late to start asking him, teach me the truth in all things. I'm tired of being told lies.
Sherry Schreiner, if listeners want to find out about your work, how can they do that?
You know, I have a weekly radio show at Blog Talk Radio. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and look for Sherry Talk Radio, or you can go to sherrytalkradio.com. List my show there. It's on Monday nights at 10 o'clock. Also, you can go to sherryschreiner.com. I have all my 18 websites listed on the left-hand side of the page, my most popular website being thewatcherfiles.com. There's a lot of eye-opening stuff on each and different websites I have. That's why I just broke them up. Talmud lies, you know, Islam lies, just, you know, everything broken up in different directions. But thewatcherfiles.com pretty much deals with the takeover, the androids, the cloning, the soul scalping, the abductions. I deal with everything aliens and UFOs on thewatcherfiles.com.
Well, I want to thank you for being on In Other News. It's been really interesting, and yes, you've been on the vanguard of this information, and people have lifted your material. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again on Dark Matter Radio.